Our primary purpose tonight, obviously, is to offer prayer to the Lord. We will do that in time in our service of prayer. It is also fitting to begin with meditating upon the word of the Lord. And so at this time, we're going to do that. We're going to be meditating on Psalm 46 tonight. Psalm 46, familiar to us, but certainly very appropriate for this particular occasion for which we are gathered together tonight. This is the word of God in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. May God bless us as we have heard his word, and as we now also proceed to look into this beautiful psalm, which speaks about our mighty fortress. It is fitting, as I said, congregation, that before we offer our prayers to the Lord tonight in this special service of prayer, that we listen to the word of him to whom we pray before we expect him to listen to us when we pray. Our service tonight is part of the National Day of Prayer, and the organization which promotes this particular service annually has set as its theme for this particular year, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. You may have seen that theme on the bookmarks that were placed in your mailboxes. And as a biblical text for that theme, it provides the words of Psalm 91, verse 2, which reads, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. That's certainly, of course, an appropriate text. But I wish to consider with you briefly tonight another psalm which well reflects that same truth and theme of a mighty fortress is our God. And that's Psalm 46, the one we just read. In fact, as you may know, this was the psalm which really lies behind the great Reformation hymn of Martin Luther entitled, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, a Bulwark Never Failing. Yes, Psalm 46 is a very powerful and stirring psalm, one that we should only think about during the time of Reformation, but which we can also use and apply in many other situations, including a day like today, when we reflect upon our nation, on our world, and our dependence on God, who has placed us here in this earthly and political realm in which you and I live. And in that realm, we are reminded here by God's word that we must have God as our mighty fortress. Indeed, notice that the psalm begins and ends with God as that fortress. Verse 1 begins, God is our refuge and strength. And verse 11 ends the psalm by saying, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And in the very middle of the psalm, that same affirmation is also indicated. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now clearly, Psalm 46 is then, first of all, a song of confidence. And that's good to remember. In fact, it's my first main point tonight. We come here to pray to God because he is our confidence. And we can come to him fully confident that he is able to do all things according to his will. And why is God our confidence? Because he is our refuge and our strength. Now the psalmist is speaking about us, about God's people who live on this earth and in this world which is filled with turbulence and with uncertainty. Obviously, God also should be the fortress and the refuge and strength of all people. Indeed, the psalm could be, I suppose, construed as a call for all peoples and nations to place their confidence and trust only in Him. But the focus of the psalmist is that those who know God, who believe in Him as the only true and living God, have reason for great confidence, because He and He alone is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. The word refuge implies that God is the one who protects us, who keeps us safe, who shelters us in the time of storm and conflict. The big news of the past week is the discovery and the killing of a major terrorist, the killing of Osama bin Laden. He had made his hideout and sought refuge in a walled mansion in Pakistan. We don't know how long he was there since the attack of 9/11/2001. But for almost 10 years, he'd managed to avoid capture and death. But his time of refuge in his secret fortress was up last Saturday night. No earthly refuge could keep him safe from the pursuit of justice. And with all of the other events that have been taking place in the last year in the Middle East, and which continue to simmer there as dictators there have either been overthrown or under threat of losing their positions of power, they also know they no longer are safe from overthrow. They too don't have a true refuge on this earth. But you see, there is a people who have a true refuge, because their trust is in the Lord. God is our refuge and strength. Which doesn't mean that a Christian cannot be harmed or even killed or lose earthly possessions or positions. Those can all be taken away from us, as the Bible often reminds us. We can never put our confidence in earthly things or men, for none of these are permanent and ultimately secure. Jesus even said once, whoever finds his life will lose it. And he was speaking there of our earthly life and earthly endeavors and pursuits. Those are never totally secure, and we cannot put our hope in them. But those who know the Lord and put their confidence in Him have an eternal refuge and security. They may even lose their life and yet be secure. For no matter what happens to them, God will keep them for eternity. He is our refuge and our strength. And that's the confidence that we have as we pray to our mighty fortress tonight. And therefore, secondly, we learn from Psalm 46 that we don't have to be afraid as we face the future. As we read in verses 2 and 3, therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging, that is, quake with the surging of the seas. What God is saying here is that no natural earthly forces can or should paralyze us with fear. Now, there certainly have been some very powerful disasters hitting our nation and world also in recent times. The earthquake and the tsunami in Japan was certainly an awesome reminder and manifestation of the natural forces which no man can prevent or withstand. The monster tornadoes that ripped through the South just last week and left a trail of destruction and death, the likes of which has not been seen or experienced from tornadoes before this in that region and maybe in our country, remind us again of the powers of nature. The signs of the times are very clearly being shown to us. And yet we don't have to fear when the earth gives way, when the mountains quake, when the seas roar and foam, says the psalmist. And why not? Well, again, he's talking about God's children here. To be sure, a devastating storm will also strike, I'm sure, an initial fear in our hearts if it should happen to us and we're involved. But then as we reflect on it, we realize that God Almighty is also in control
of every natural power. The whole world and the cosmos is in his hands. And so are our lives. They're also in his hands. And realizing that he is our Father and that we are his children, we can be sure that even the fiercest storms cannot grasp us away from him. He is our refuge and strength, also when disasters strike and the earth shakes. In fact, we can even experience a sense of peace in the midst of a turbulent, violent world. You know why? Because we are the objects of God's special love. And that's a third truth beautifully brought out here in Psalm 46. We read of it in verses 4 and 5. Listen again to these verses. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Now, what are those verses talking about? Well, they're talking about the church, the people of God who live in the midst of this world where disasters strike and conflicts rage. Notice it speaks about the city of God and the holy place where the Most High dwells. That's an Old Testament reference to Jerusalem and to the temple of God there. But Jerusalem really represents the people of God among whom the Lord dwells. And in the New Testament, the city of God is the church. The church is his holy city and his holy place. That's where God dwells today, in the hearts and the lives of his redeemed people. And so when the psalmist writes, God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. He's not talking about a geographical city, but about a spiritual people whom he has saved and who belong to him. God is within her in the church, and she will not fail. And what about that river whose streams make glad the city of God? You know, that's a beautiful picture or a metaphor of all God's blessings which come to us through his Holy Spirit. As a river flows in its water-sustained life in nature, so the Spirit of God gives life and strength to his church, and he gladdens it with a stream and abundance of spiritual blessings. You see, not the nation, but not the world, but the church is central in God's eternal plan and program. And so that's why we also will pray for the church tonight. The church living in our nation and in the world. Yes, that church has been placed by God in the midst of the world. And we're not just here to be the recipients of God's love and salvation and his many blessings. We're not just like a lake that simply receives the water and contains it for our own benefit. But the church, like the Holy Spirit, is like a river whose streams go forth to water the land. And so the church is to be an influence in this world. It must continue to go forth with the gospel to all the world. It must be the salt, as Jesus said, in society. We're here to pray tonight as a church for our nation. Well, we pray that God may use us to proclaim his word and will to our nation, and that our lives may be holy and righteous and good as a witness to others around us, and that we may serve God in our labors and in our homes, to be an example to our nation. And now to be all of that and to do what God wants us to do as his people demands that we pray for his strength and guidance, that we may remain a faithful church, faithful in the preaching and hearing of his word, faithful in our outreach, faithful in our testimony, faithful in prayer. There is no hope for this nation if God's people fail to do their task. Verse 5 says, God is within her. That is, he's within the church. She will not fall. Well, the only reason the church will not fall is because God's presence and power are in the church. But if the church no longer serves God or proclaims his truth, the church then will fall and will fail to influence the nation, because God then will withdraw his presence from her. Apostate churches no longer have the presence of or power of God in them to be of any real ultimate blessing. We need to pray for our country indeed. We need to be involved politically in the affairs of our country and make our voice heard on the many issues of our time. We need to remember that the economic issues that we face as a country and the international problems that we must deal with today are not the only issues of importance, but the moral and religious issues are equally important, even more so indeed, such as abortion or gambling or homosexuality or divorce or family values, the pop culture promoted by the entertainment industry, what is being taught in our schools or not being taught, whether God created us or we are simply the product of evolution. All of these things shape the mind and shape a nation and its people. And sad to say, the United States has increasingly become a secular and anti-Christian nation at the same time as the church, and its influence declines. And now you and I may be tempted to accept that and to throw up our hands and give up, or even to go along with it. Oh, how the church in America today needs revival for the good of the nation. So that's another truth that we learn in Psalm 46. God is in the midst of his church, which lives in the nation and the world. But let's move on to know fourthly and lastly tonight from this psalm how it also reminds us that God always remains supreme and sovereign in the affairs of the world, no matter what happens. In fact, he is the one who brings about the rise and the fall of nations. We read in verse 6, nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. Well, the nations certainly are constantly in uproar, aren't they? Even though we're living in relative peace in our land, for which we can certainly be thankful. But uproar is never very far away. And it can happen here just as quickly as anywhere else. Just witness the recent protests in Madison, Wisconsin, where thousands took to the streets for days on end, weeks on end, shouting and screaming against duly elected officials and their decisions which they did not like. I thought if they had been anti-abortion protesters, they would have been arrested and they would have been vilified as radicals. Some future day, do not be surprised if there are violent protests on the streets of America against something or for some reason that people do not like. We're not immune to these things as they occur in the rest of the world, but God still remains sovereign, says Psalm 46. Verse 8 says, come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. Yes, desolation and destruction. They're not just an accident or the cool whim of Mother Nature or the deeds of evil men, but they're ultimately the work of the Lord to manifest his justice and power over the world. They are, in effect, his judgments on the earth, which will not acknowledge him or serve him. At the same time, God can bring an end to wars and conflicts. As verse 9 states, he makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. God can bring about peace, even as he can bring about war. And someday that's exactly what God will do when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again in power to defeat all the forces of Antichrist and the devil in the final battle of Armageddon. Then God will break the weapons of man and bring wars to an end, and he will usher in his own eternal kingdom of peace. And so what must be our attitude toward this almighty sovereign God who is our fortress? Well, people of God, this should be our response. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. That's how we should approach our God in prayer tonight, with a humble and full acknowledgement that He is God. And knowing that He alone is God, we can only be still in His presence. That doesn't mean we must only be silent before Him. Although there's a time for that too, just to be silent as we face the events of our days, especially when horrific events occur, as we've mentioned. If one is standing in the midst of the rubble left by a tornado that has gone through, he can only stand there in silence. But you see, to be still before God in the text means more deeply to quietly accept the sovereignty of God. To be still means that we don't argue against God, that we don't accuse Him of wrong, that we don't rail against Him. But it means that we humbly and quietly submit to Him, and that we accept Him as the sovereign God. Yes, that's what He tells us. He tells our nation and our world as well. That's the response that He desires from us and the world and all men. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Our coming here tonight in prayer and worship is our way of exalting our God. And when we do, when we honor and glorify Him as He alone deserves, when we approach Him and acknowledge Him in a humble faith and praise, then we also have His promise to claim. It is this: the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, thank You this evening for revealing Yourself to us as our mighty fortress, our refuge and our strength, the One who is the sovereign over all the nations and the earth, before whom we must all be still, the God who is also in the midst of us, in the midst of His church. You are here tonight, gracious Lord, with us, the Lord Almighty. And we pray that we may experience here the blessings of Your presence and grace, even as we also pray to You that we may be faithful in declaring Your will, Your name to the nation around us, the nation of which we're a part. Thank You, Lord God, that You have made Yourself known to us as the God to whom we can come in full confidence, that our prayers may be acceptable in Your sight. So listen to us and bless us as we continue into this service, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
At this time in our service, we are going to be praying for our nation. We'll open this segment of our service by opening the Word of God to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Please read along with me the first four verses of 1 Timothy 2. I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Let's bow our hearts together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful that we have the privilege of gathering together this evening to pray for our nation. We were urged from Your word to make requests, prayers, and intercession, and thanksgiving for everyone, for kings in particular, and all those in authority. So we pray tonight for our president. Father, we pray that you would work in this man's heart. There are times that we see things happening, decisions that he makes that do not coincide with what is taught in your word, and this grieves us. Father, we do not know his heart. Only you know the heart of man. But Father, if this man does not know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, we pray that the Holy Spirit would do a regenerative work in his life, that he would come to faith, and that he would make decisions in accordance with your word. We pray not only for him, but for all of those who serve in the various branches of our government. We pray for our legislators. We pray that your Spirit would work in the hearts and minds of especially those who are professing Christians. We pray that you would use them to bring your word to bear on the policies, on the various laws and legislation in our land. We pray, Father, for those who serve in the judicial branch of government. We again, first and foremost, pray that the hearts of those who are unregenerate might be regenerated in order that they might function as they ought in their appointed positions. Father, we want to pray for our nation as a whole. We read together earlier in 1 Timothy 2 that when we offer prayers such as we are doing, it pleases you who want all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. We ask, O Lord, that you would forgive us as a nation. We sin against you in so many ways. We think of the recent death of Osama bin Laden and the way many, even professing Christians, have dealt with this death. How they have triumphed in it, going around in self-righteousness as if they would not sin or do things like Osama bin Laden had done. Father, we know that unless your Spirit works in the lives of people's hearts, they will be wicked people. Help us to remember, O Lord, that it is by grace, through faith, that we have been saved. That if we demonstrate any righteousness at all, it's strictly because of your grace and mercy. Lord, as we see the way many Americans are handling and dealing with the death of Osama bin Laden, help us to remember what you teach in Ezekiel 18, verse 32, that you take no pleasure in the death of anyone. I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Sovereign Lord. Repent and live. Help us to reflect on what is recorded in Ezekiel 33, verse 11. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. Lord, we are not saddened that this man was brought to justice. We're thankful that justice did indeed reign in this case. We're thankful, Lord, that his oppressive ways have now been stopped. But, oh Lord, help us to remember that again, it's only by grace that we are what we are. And help us, oh Lord, when we see evil men and women, to pray for them. We read in your word in Proverbs 14, verse 34, that righteousness exalts a nation, but its sin is a reproach to any people. Lord, as citizens of this nation that you have assigned us to live in, the United States of America, we readily admit, O Lord, that we have not always lived righteous lives. We pray that you would forgive us for watching television programs that abuse and misuse your name, that are filled with coarse language, that abound with sexual immorality. And we pray, Lord, that you would forgive us when we've even spent time watching television when we should have been praying, when we should have been in fellowship with other Christians. We ask, O Lord, that you would forgive us when we have not prioritized our lives aright. When we've allowed our schedules to master us instead of us mastering our schedules in such a way as to live our lives for you. Spending time daily in devotion with you. Spending time with our families in prayer and around the Word. Spending time fellowshipping with other believers in this church. Spending time sharing the gospel with our neighbors, with our work associates, and those in the marketplace. Forgive us, O Lord, for not living as a light on a hill. Lord, we are reminded in your word in Philippians that our citizenship is in heaven. We are, yes, citizens of the United States of America, temporal, in a temporal sense, but our citizenship is in heaven. Help us live by faith as citizens of heaven. Lord, help us to be like Moses of old, who by faith, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, who chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Lord, as we see those of the world taken captive by their sinful natures, by living to please the flesh, Lord, help us to live by faith and make us ready and willing to be mistreated for living by faith. Lord, as we close this time, we're mindful of what your word teaches in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, that our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Oh, how we long for the return of our Savior. How we long to see him return on the clouds of glory. Even so, we conclude this prayer tonight, declaring in our hearts, pleading in our hearts, Maranatha. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we offer a petition of prayer for the church this evening, please open with me to Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. Our unity in the body of Christ. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. Let us offer prayer for the church this evening. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for the privilege to gather here in your house of worship and offer prayer to you, our God and our King. We thank you for the church, the bride of Christ, the institution which you have established, by your will and for your glory. Lord, we pray that you would bless the faithful churches across our nation and in every nation. May they truly seek you, may they serve you. We pray that you would strengthen those churches who are facing hardship and loss on various different levels. Lord, bless, we pray, those churches in the weather-torn areas of our country. May your people in them, in those faithful churches, may they rise up, your children, may they come together. May they support one another in love and strengthen one another. God, please bring comfort to them as only you can. Lord, we pray that you would continue to raise up faithful churches across our nation, reformed, Bible-adhering churches that seek to magnify you and show your name and show the love of Christ and show his praise. Lord, we pray too that you would bless your local church here. We pray that you would bless Cornerstone. We thank you for guiding and sustaining us as a church and all the many ministries here. We pray that you would bless us corporately as a church, that we would magnify your name, that we would praise you. Bless our leadership, Lord. We thank you for Pastor Admiral's love and devotion for you and to us as a body of believers here for many years. We pray that you would continue to bless him into his retirement and his continued service here. Bless him and keep him, lead and guide him. Lord, too, we pray that you would bless Pastor Dahl. Pray that you would bless the ministry that you have appointed him to, the counseling that he is involved in. Pray that you would grant him much strength and wisdom, rich wisdom from your word and from your Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit to him as he lovingly instructs and cares for others according to your word. Bless your servant too, Lord, teaching in the youth ministries. Be merciful, grant wisdom and grace and love that I may faithfully serve you, that hearts and lives may be touched by the glorious gospel and founded on the rock who is Christ Jesus. Dear Lord, please bless our elders and deacons. We pray for them, Lord, in their tireless work that they are involved in. Give them much strength and a rich measure of your Spirit. Bless the elders in the ruling and governing of our church, of your church here. Grant them guidance as they seek to do so diligently and faithfully. Bless your church here, Lord. Bless us as we seek the man of your choosing for a pastor. May it be made clear to us, the man that you are preparing for us. May your word ever be faithfully taught and proclaimed here in our church, dear Lord, we pray. Lastly, Lord, we pray for the individuals within your church body here. May we truly live worthy lives before your face. May we exhibit the character of Christ, showing one to another humility, gentleness, and patience. Lord, as sinners, we are continually in need of your grace and forgiveness. We pray that you would be merciful and gracious to grant it to us. May we be built up through the Spirit in unity and love. May we truly exhibit the transformation of the Spirit and a growth in faith and hope and love. Using the gifts you have given us to build our fellowship here, Lord, may all of our lives truly show our devotion to you, that you would be honored and glorified and praised. May your salvation be brought here, and may you bring renewal and revival in our midst. May you bring salvation to the lost and the wandering, Lord. Bring comfort to those who are afflicted. Lord, we confess we are ever dependent upon you for all of our needs. Bless us, we pray, according to your will. All of these things we pray in the Savior's precious name and for his sake. Amen.
Our last prayer this evening will focus on our labors. You may be aware that it used to be that we had a service for crops and industry in March of each year, and we no longer have it, at least in this congregation. So we often incorporate that as well, even though it is a day for prayer for the nation. We certainly also want to remember our labors as citizens and as persons in this land. So at this time, we'll be doing that. I'd like to just read a few verses before we pray to the Lord together from Psalm 90. Listen to these verses from Psalm 90. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you've afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Let's offer prayer to the Lord. Father, it is fitting tonight to thank you for all your wonderful blessings. And we live in a beautiful land, a land with vast forests, and expansive plains and majestic mountains, and lush valleys, a land with many lakes and rivers. All of these are your gift to us. How privileged we are to live in the United States of America, a beautiful country, even though we realize we live in a fallen world. And we know there are indeed, as we have noted, many disasters that have taken place. Yet, Lord, we have received also bountiful blessings from your hand. We thank you for prosperity, for blessing us according to our every need, for the abundant resources that you have provided for us and for people and citizens of this nation. And thank you, too, O Lord, for giving man, for giving us the mandate to have dominion over the earth, to work in this earth, to subdue this earth, to rule over the creatures of the earth, and to be good stewards of this world. Tonight, Father, we think of agriculture, so important in our lives. We see how the farmers are once again back in the fields, tilling the land, preparing it for planting, seeing the planting of the seeds. We pray for your blessing, O Lord, upon them and upon those involved in agriculture tonight. We pray for your blessing, O Lord, upon their labors. We pray that you will give them good weather conditions. It has been rather rainy and cold thus far, but Lord, we know you provide. And we thank you that you have given to us in the past many, many good and bountiful harvests. And so we pray that you will care for the crops which will be sown, that they may mature properly and produce a good harvest in the appointed time. Father, give to those involved in agriculture, our farmers and others, patience as they await your blessing upon their labors. Father, we thank you for those who are able to work in industry. We thank you for blessing the manufacturing and industrial sector of our nation. Indeed, we are a mighty nation in that regard, and yet we know it is not because of our doing. It is all your blessing upon us. We know it's been a difficult time in our land in the last several years, in the time of recession. We realize too, O Lord, and we see signs of improvement, and we thank you for that. We ask for your continued blessing on all those, O Lord, who work with their hands and minds, those, O Lord, who work in industries and factories, who produce the necessities and the goods upon which we depend. We think of those who build homes, those involved in all kinds of occupations, and we pray that you will continue to give them work, provide for them labor. Remember those, Lord, who are unemployed during this time. Father, may they too realize that you will indeed provide for their needs, but we know it is difficult for them.
And we pray that you will provide then for them gainful employment, that they may be able to support themselves and their families. Father, may our hearts not cleave to the earthly things, on the other hand. We know that we live in the midst of plenty and of wealth, but may we realize, as we think of others in the world tonight, that the material things that we have are only passing and temporal. May our hope always be to seek you and to seek your kingdom. Remember those working in professions tonight, Father. We thank you for those who have the abilities and skills needful to work in the healthcare field. We think of doctors and nurses and aides and therapists and others who offer their help to those with special needs. Father, continue to provide for them your blessing and use them mightily for our good. Remember those involved in the profession of teaching. We thank you for their abilities and knowledge. May they impart your truth and your wisdom, O Lord, to those whom they are called to instruct. Remember those who are involved in other professions, those who work in offices, those, O Lord, who work in the financial sector of the land, those who work in other services. Father, we know we are varied in what we do, but we thank you that once again we have received these abilities from your grace and hand, and may we use them wisely. And so tonight we ask, will you give us health and strength for our daily labors? Give us, we pray, the abilities that we need for each day. Give us the opportunities to use our abilities. Give us work, Lord, when we need work, and give us strength for the labors of each day. We ask that you will continue to help us to have proper and good attitudes in our work. May we be honest. May we be diligent. May we have good relationships with our fellow employees. May we be good employers, mindful of our employees and doing the best for them. May we be good employees, doing the best for those who employ us. Father, may we see our work as serving our Lord Jesus Christ. And so will you provide for all of our needs. And when you have done so, O Lord, as you always have, when we indeed have received plenty from your hand, we pray that you will help us to share with those in need. May we also be faithful in our giving. May we realize that everything that you provide for us is your gift. And may we respond by giving faithfully again for your glory, your church, and your kingdom. So receive our thanks tonight, Father. We confess our failings. We pray for your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.